This is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SSD, on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. Okay, this is the pro-Palestinian rally from June 1st at Saturday Market 2024. And for more on Talk is Cheap and the DJ SSD presidential campaign, go to DJSSD.com. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media.
It's justified.
You people are occupied.
It's justified. You people
are occupied. Okay, we have
the paper coming around so that you don't have to remember. We'll just read them together. Okay, we're going to go through a few of the ones that I feel like doing on this list, so we'll just wing it. Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
I want to tell you the story of this megaphone, which we would be using right now to be loud. But it was taken on A15, and I believe it's been tampered with.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
From the river to the sea,
Palestine
will be free!
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free!
All right, next time we'll be louder. If you're down. But first, I'd like to introduce our first set of speakers. We have Jason and Amelia here. Jason is a proud member of the UO faculty group, and Amelia is a high school student from South Eugene. All right.
Hello, everybody. Hi everyone, my name is Jason Sides, and I'm a dad, a son, an instructor at the University of Oregon, and a proud member of the University of Oregon faculty and staff for Justice in Palestine.
Hi everyone, my name is Amelia Sides. I am a sophomore at South Eugene High School. And I'm here today just to speak to you about what's going on in Rafa and how it is. As I mentioned, I am a student at South Eugene High School. My school is known for being very liberal and open to political discussion. Although I have noticed that's not the case for what's occurring in Palestine. Only one of my teachers has even brought up the topic, and that same teacher later reprimanded me for discussing it with one of my peers. I feel that my school represents many places in the country, as Americans have a culture to ignore difficult conversations. But now is the time that we need to feel uncomfortable having these conversations. We should all feel uncomfortable living in a country where our tax money is being used to support a genocide. We should feel uncomfortable thinking about injured, orphaned, and displaced and dead human beings in Palestine. We should feel uncomfortable knowing our country has always supported Israel's colonization of Palestinian land. It makes me more than uncomfortable. It makes me sick. With the massive amount of privilege we all have, it is so, so important for us to have these conversations and spread word about the ongoing genocide. Unfortunately, this is a sensitive and controversial topic to many people. I know many people who support Israel and their actions, and having a conversation about why I am not okay with that is not an easy thing to do. I was called anti-Semitic, and I had multiple people DM me hateful things online, yet I do not regret any of the choices I have made. Every day, I am appalled by the actions of the Israeli government and feel almost helpless. This should not be a political matter. This should not be a religious matter. This is a genocide, and for it to be described as anything else is simply untrue.
Woo! I choose to bear witness. I choose to stare horrified at what is taking place. When I open up my feeds every day, I see human beings suffering. Children, women, men, the elderly, being slaughtered by the dozens, trapped under rubble, orphaned, undergoing amputations without anesthesia, being starved, being denied food, water, basic medical supplies, fuel for generators, electricity. Civilian men and boys stripped to their underwear, handcuffed, lined up, and made to kneel. Multiple mass graves outside of hospitals. Most hospitals destroyed, the few remaining damaged and barely functioning. All universities destroyed, 75% of the population displaced. And just this week, children, women, and men horrifically being burned alive in burning tents in Rafah. A minimum of 15,000 Palestinian children killed. A minimum of 36,000 Palestinians killed overall, 46,000 if you include those still buried under the rubble. And keep in mind, these numbers are definitely a vast undercount. We quibble over the meaning of words from the river to the sea, genocide. But what we are clearly witnessing is a catastrophe unfolding in front of our eyes, ongoing for longer than I've been alive, the active and now accelerated attempted erasure of a people and their culture. This genocide, this ethnic cleansing, this apartheid, this starvation, this is all enabled by our tax dollars, by our weapons, by our diplomatic cover. We, the United States of America, are complicit in all of it. And we, the people,
shame!
And we, the people, need to do whatever we can to stop these horrors immediately. I stand here today with my daughter, grateful for the privilege that we have, grateful for the hopefully many more decades of joyous time we can spend together, and heartbroken for the tens of thousands of Palestinian daughters, sons, mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts, and uncles who cannot do the same, whose time together has been viciously stolen from them. In solidarity, we will stop these horrors. We will make a free Palestine in our lifetimes as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Jason and Amelia for speaking so courageously. Okay, do you have chant papers? Thank you for the one person letting me know that that's the case. If you don't, find someone who does. We're going to do a few chants in between speakers. We'll do the first one. It's just all together. I'll start us off. Not another nickel. Not another dime. No more money for Israel's crimes. Not another nickel. Not another dime. No more money for Israel's crimes. Free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
What do we want? Then you would say ceasefire. Yeah, we'll get there. Okay, what do we want?
Ceasefire.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Ceasefire.
What do we want it?
Now.
Yeah, that also. From the river to the sea.
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea.
Palestine will be free.
And earlier we did, resistance is justified.
When people are occupied.
Resistance is justified.
When people are occupied.
Nice. Okay, study your little sheets. We're going to do those in between speakers. Okay, our next speaker is Fia. I don't know. Amazing. Hi, Fia. Cool.
Hello. I am a student at U of O. I am a Palestinian American. My family fled during the first Zionist invasions and settler encampments. So, that's why I'm here today. I was told to do an introduction. I don't know how to introduce myself. I'm so sorry. But anyway. today I want to share the story of my dear friend, Tala. Tala lives in a refugee camp in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, near the border of the crossing into Egypt. She is a young writer, just like me, and she was supposed to graduate from college this year, just like me. She studied under Dr. Rafet Alarir, who authored the poignant poem, If I Must Die. And when we talked, I tell her about the protests that we do in Eugene. And I'm always overcome by the warmth in her voice, despite the terrifying conditions, audibly underscoring her positivity. It reminds me that even silence is a privilege. Recently, she wrote to me about her dreams of being able to show her gratitude to those protesting the genocide she is experiencing. Today, I want to share her words with you. Hold on. Bear with us. Sorry.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine! Free Palestine! Free Palestine!
Long live 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 Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Those who stand for humanity, to those who are threatening everything to call for justice, to those who fight against every occupation and spread the act of freedom, to all of you, we say thank you. You're holding our future, our dreams, our lives in your hands. Watching your videos and seeing you give us the power to persevere and never give up. You're a real light that provides us with inspiration to resist, to fight, and stay alive. From the deepest part of our hearts, we love you and thank you. From the river to the sea. This time will always be free from your friend Tala in Gaza.
Hello? Okay, cool. Hi, sorry, I have just a little bit more to say on her behalf.
Tala wants us all to know the power they feel from us throughout Gaza. She said, the more I watch your videos, the more we are strengthened. You cannot imagine the impact you have on us. We watch your protests and start crying because we see that you are the change we have been fighting for. You are the generation that Palestine has been waiting for. Dr. Rafet, which she calls him, Rafat, I keep saying his name wrong, I'm so sorry, that she always said he was sure that our generation would be very different. He passed away now, he's passed away now, martyred by Israel in December, but he is still here with us, with you, with everyone. I'd like to read a poem now from her, which she wrote to Dr. Alarir. If I must live, you must see the resistant one you taught me to be, the one who holds your things tight and never lets go of your tail. Afloat in the homicide air, the kite is there, the same scene, but it brings no hope of an end to our pain and disease. The child looks up for an answer, but his angel's not there. I hold his hand and dream of that place you left us for, that embraces you in all its warmth and peace. If I must live, let me be free. Let the child love and see. This is what we are fighting for. Children deserve to be free, to write about more than the deaths of their mentors and the hellfire above. They deserve to wake up to birds, not missiles and drones. I hope for a world where seeing living children is no longer a privilege, but where all children can fly their kites and have love. Tala has yet to write since this poem, since living through, she is living through unimaginable conditions and said she had lost her will to write. Today, as we cried together over the mutual support and positivity in the face of so much tragedy, she told me that because of our work, she is returning to writing. She said she can feel it now that she wants to write. Thank you.
Thanks, Eva. Thanks, y'all, for being here today in Outrage. I'm going to have Alex, one of JVP Eugene's founding members, give y'all a little rundown about who JVP Eugene is and what we do and why we're here today in Outrage. Alex?
Thank you so much, Fia. That was very moving. We hear a lot of speeches and we hear a lot of really important words and analysis, and it's not often that we get to hear from someone who is an experienced writer and who can communicate directly from Gaza to us, from Rafah. So we got to keep it up so that Tala keeps writing, because we want to hear more from Tala. We are Jewish Voice for Peace, JVP. Jewish Voice for Peace was originally founded in the 90s. It's changed a lot through the years. I'm going to be really brief right now. We're a Jewish anti-Zionist organization. That means that we say, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. We believe in the full right of return for all Palestinians to their homelands. We stand on long legacies of anti-Zionism. Zionism is a new idea. Judaism is a very old idea. We are Jews first. So we just formed, you know, in Eugene after October 7th, our Eugene pod here. But if anybody wants to get involved to support the work that we're doing, talk to some of us up here. Raise your hand if you're in JVP. See you all out here. We can get you on our community signal thread. And I'm going to hand it back to Haley to lead us some more. Thanks.
Thanks, Alex. Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Oh, yeah. Okay, we have a couple more speakers for you. Eva, if you're out there. All right.
Magandang hapon! Good afternoon, everybody. Salam alaikum. You can call me Ate. As a Syrian, Lebanese, Filipina, and many other ethnicities, women of color, I come here with deep love and deep respect for our Palestinian people. And thank you for being here today, all of you. As an Arab, I live with the immense responsibility to my Palestinian siblings and family. So as we show up and speak to a free Palestine, let us not only hold responsibility, but individually and collectively locate and move our responsibility into action. Those of us here are not only implicated through the ways the US, the UK, Germany, and so many other Euro-colonial states have co-created Israel, but through the ways these countries have been funding, supporting, and arming the genocide that has been underway for almost 150 years. If we sincerely do not tolerate genocide or settler colonialism, we need to recognize that this land is stolen indigenous land. I'm talking about Kalakuya people, Kalakuya Ilihi. I'm talking about the indigenous peoples from whose ancestral homelands are the entire continent of Turtle Island. The very tactics that Israel has been using against Palestinians are copied from from the tactics that the settler colonial U.S. has been using to establish this country and overseas for hundreds of years. The so-called U.S. has built wealth, not just through power, but not, excuse me. The settler colonial U.S. has built their wealth and power, not just through stolen land and the genocide of indigenous people, but through the stolen labor of indigenous peoples of Africa. There were mass hostages, as in millions of people captured, kidnapped, separated from families, and enslaved for hundreds of years. Their bodies were, and labor was violently exploited for chattel slavery. Israel repeats these similar patterns through taking mass hostages, separating families, stealing organs, and torture, and so much more. The enslavement of Black and people of African descent continues today on these stolen indigenous lands through the prison industrial complex. As we know, at the very least, it's directly related to Israel through the police and IOF training and training networks.
Shame.
Are mirrored between the extrajudicial killings of Palestinians in Gaza in the West Bank, as well as the Black folks in our streets. Have you noticed the increased militarization of our streets? The U.S. and other colonial, Euro-colonial forces continue the enslavement of Black people on the continent of Africa in so many ways. You can say it? In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, over 7 million people are displaced through forced eviction for mining. They're mining minerals like lithium, cobalt, and copper. Minerals that continue to build the wealth of billionaires, the top 1%. That's right. They call it artisanal mining, as if it's some heritage craft like weaving. But what that means is mining with low technology or no tools, as in the most common form of mining in the Congo is with your bare hands. Mining is toxic, and millions of people are exposed to these toxins, including children who are forced into this labor. These minerals are used for what? Smartphones, computers, laptops, electric cars, greenwashed and sold to us as friendly solutions to climate change. Tell me, how eco-friendly is deforesting some of the largest, oldest, and densest forests in the world? That's right. How clean is technology sourced from child labor?
Not very. Shame.
It's so dirty. Israel uses these same technologies for surveillance, for weapons like drones, as well as their eugenic experimentation using biological and chemical warfare against Palestinians, as well as other places and peoples in this world. The U.S. and Eurocolonial states also use these technologies like Lavender AI and using WhatsApp to get into other countries to destabilize and catalyze genocide, targeting people.
Shame.
Targeting peoples like the Rohingya, like Haiti, or if you need the white accent, Haiti, Tigray, and Sudan, and so many more. Recent modeling shows that over 2.5 million Sudanese are expected to die from starvation in the next few months, which means that over 2.5 million people are already undergoing starvation in Sudan.
Shame.
to bring up the U.S.'s track record and all these other atrocities is not by any means to compare them or to try to rank them by who has it the worst by scale or quantity. These genocides are incommensurate. We are to look at how they are inextricably tied and connected through the continuation of colonization and imperialism, and to see our roles within that. And while it might seem overwhelming, I want to remind us that if the 1% are readily organizing to materialize a world they imagine to hoard all this wealth and create all these power systems, what's possible if the 99% of us decide to do the same? Also, no, not do the same, but create our own rules. I have to edit that. So, Kay Benally, Rest in Power, says the opposite of despair is not hope. It is action. So when we say Free Palestine, what we mean is a total liberation for Palestinian people and land and all species in between. When we say Free Palestine, may we mirror that with our actions. May we be throwing the fuck down for land back. Yeah. For Free Congo. Free Sudan. Free Sudan. Protect Mauna Kea. Yeah. Free Kanaka Oivi. Free Tigray, Rohingya, Haiti. Free all genocided and oppressed peoples. Free Palestine means get the U.S. out of the Philippines, get the U.S. and these colonial and imperialistic regimes out of everywhere. It is time for them to end Free Palestine.
Free Palestine!
Let's just get a big fuck colonialism, why don't we?
Fuck colonialism!
I'm gonna bring you halfway down on your chant sheet. You can repeat after me once you find it. From Palestine to Mexico, all these walls have got to go.
From Palestine to Mexico, all these walls have got to go.
From Palestine to Mexico,
all these walls have got to go.
All right, we have one other speaker for us. I wanted to thank you again for being here today in action. If you want to keep in touch with JVP Eugene, come find some of us after. We can add you to our thread. If you're finding other ways to be in action, we can chat about that. Our next speaker, Nazila.
Good afternoon, sisters and brothers. My name is Nazila, and I am a member of Party for Socialism and Liberation. Last weekend, Israel bombed civilian in tents at the UNRWA refugee camps using 2,000-pound U.S.-made bombs. 45 civilians, mostly children, were burned alive. And this was supposed to be a safe zone. Once again, Israel proved to the world that it has no respect for human life or international law. Israel is not just committing genocide, it has also deliberately destroying up to 75% of civilian infrastructure in Gaza, including their schools, hospitals, electricity, and their drinking water. Israel has systematically blocked food using starvation as a weapon. You need to continue telling people in the community that this is a genocide, partially paid for by our tax money. We are talking about genocide being committed using U.S. weapons. Even after after these horrible bombings in densely populated Rafah, Biden still says that Israel has not yet crossed the red line. And however that red line is defined, the U.S. government will not punish Israel, because Israel is the arm of U.S. imperialism in the region.
Shame.
All Biden wants to do is to continue the genocide, but in a less obvious way. The difference between Biden administration and Netanyahu's fascistic cabinet is a difference in style, not in substance. May 25, the fourth anniversary of the brutal murder of George Floyd by killer cops in Minneapolis. The movement brought Illinois millions of people to the streets for months demanding a stop to the police murder of people from the black community. Since October 7, the genocide of Gaza has brought millions of people to the streets in the US and around the globe. Many of the same people and many of the same organizations that were in the street for George Floyd protests are in the street again. The police murder of unarmed black and brown people and the Israeli genocide of the people of Gaza are happening under conditions that are quite different. But what joins these crimes together is the U.S. empire. At their root, the struggle against Israel genocide and the struggle against police murder in U.S. cities are one and the same. For years, for decades, it was not clear to everyone in the movement that the struggle for Palestine was very much a part of our own struggle. This is obvious to most of us now. The Palestinians have known this for a long time. That's why Palestinian artists painted a beautiful mural of George Floyd in Gaza, but it's not there anymore due to genocidal Israel attack.
Shame.
Today, Palestine is not alone. We and people like us around the world are part of a deep, active, and militant international movement against the U.S.-Israeli genocide. And our movement is growing. Our movement is getting bigger, sisters and brothers. Just this past weekend, over 3,600 activists gathered in Detroit for the People's Conference for Palestine. Hundreds of thousands have watched some of the proceedings of this historic conference online. Even the corporate media, including CNN, had to give this conference some coverage. Next week, June 8, activists from around the country are protesting at the White House, exposing the lie of Biden's so-called red line. The movement is growing, sisters and brothers, and it is branching out into different forms. Israel has no prospect of victory, despite its bloody campaign of murder. Israel can kill many more, but it cannot kill Palestinian resistance. Nor can it kill the international movement in solidarity with Palestine. In reality, the movement goes beyond Palestine. Palestinians in Gaza are leading us in the movement, not just to free Palestine from Israel apartheid, but to free all of humanity from the imperialist system that is suffocating the people of the world and endangering the future of humanity.
Fuck imperialism.
This movement cannot be silenced. We will not be silenced. And our voice is getting louder and louder and louder. Long live Palestine! Long live Gaza!
Long live Palestine!
y'all, I'm going to lead us out in a couple chants. Thank you again for being here on your Saturday, for standing in solidarity, for standing in outrage. Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free!
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free!
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free!
All right, y'all. Long live Palestine.
KEPW 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. Alright, you've been listening to the protests, pro-Palestinian protests from June 1st at the Saturday Market. And then I'm going to play you right now my testimony to the Eugene Water and Electric Board from May 4th, Tuesday, May 4th. And then Buckethead played at the McDonald Theater on June 7th, and this song, I don't know what chord sequence he's using or what key he's in, but it brought tears to my eyes. When you listen to this, visualize all the women and children that have been killed in all the wars, unnecessary wars. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media.
I've paid taxes here since 1985 in Lane County. There was a recent article just 2 days ago by NPR talking about Farmington, Massachusetts now has a networked geothermal heat pump system. And it's the first one that they have independent ones that are owned by the users, but this is the first one that is done by a utility board, a networked geothermal heat pump system. And your integrated resources plan has nuclear power in it that you're going to hook up to Bonneville, or you're already hooked up to Bonneville, and they're going to probably hook up to out-of-state nuclear power. So this is a win-win for you guys because it's run by electricity, not gas. And so with cogeneration and winter, there's all kinds of winter storage schemes. You could easily keep us off of nuclear power. And the U of O could easily put one of these in for their heating plan upgrade. And, you know, it'd be a chance for them to teach students about cyclical alternative technology systems that are more cyclical instead of linear. And change, you know, we're going to have to rethink the way we do energy in this country if we're going to fight climate change and stay off of nuclear. So, I'm hoping you would do, and there's lower, you know, there's lower load requirements because it's much more efficient to run. They're pulling, I'm sure you guys know how this works. It goes through the earth. It takes the cool and temperature from the earth and adds to it and subtracts to it to cool. It works to cool your houses also. So I hope you've done due diligence and studied. I'd like to ask, have you studied network geothermal heat pumps, and would you please do due diligence and study these to keep us off of nuclear power, because you're going to run into a lot of opposition for nuclear power. And please do much more rooftop solar. I'd like to see a much more rooftop solar, again, to keep us off of nuclear power. And, you know, the U of O, you're going to have to rethink about how these buildings are. They're going to have to be much more oriented to the south with greenhouses on them for if we're going to go into the future with and lower climate change and fight climate change. All right, so yeah, please do due diligence and check on network geothermal heat pump systems. Thank you.